A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Kuf Zayin, Shabbos 107a, pagination, page 213. We start with the Mishnah towards the bottom of the page, the new Perek. Shemona Shiratzim O'amurim B'Torah, the eight creatures listed in the Torah, Hatzadon, one who traps them, Ve'achova Behem, or one who damages them, Chayiv is in Shabbos violation, Shor Shkatzim U'Ramasim, other small creatures, Hachovel Behem Potter, one who damages them, is not in biblical Shabbos violation. What is unique about these eight shratzim, these eight creatures?
I'm confused. 213.
What's unique about these eight creatures is that they have a hide. And therefore, when one damages them, it bleeds underneath the hide. It's being released from the inner skin, but it's getting caught by the outer skin, which is what we call a black and blue mark. And the Mishnah is telling us that that's considered getting blood to flow. And therefore, it's a Shabbos violation. Whereas with many other creatures, a worm, a frog, other things, if you puncture it, it comes straight out. There's no in-between stage. Now, the other factor over here is that if they have a hide, typically they are captured for a functional purpose, for their hide. And therefore, there is something unique about these eight creatures. Identity of these eight creatures is a bit challenging. There are different approaches, but they are very specific to the point that Rashi, for example, identifies one of them, the Tzav, as being the toad, which he says is Dome Litzfardeya, similar to the frog. But it's not the frog, because the frog's skin is thin and the toad's skin is thick. And it's very specific, even though certain animals may seem similar to others, it was very specific which ones, and these are this entire approach of the uniqueness of these eight creatures is mentioned in Halacha. Now, our Mishnah is opening up for us two different issues when dealing with creatures. A wasp, a rodent. Two different issues. One issue is, can I trap it? And the other issue is, can I kill it? Two different issues. And we'll see that they actually play themselves out differently in practical halacha, because killing is a factual thing. You've killed it in terms of perspective of 39 categories. Killing is killing. When you have, however, a case of trapping, even the Mishnah tells us already that if it's litzorech, then it's more severe. It could be the biblical violation if it's for a purpose. But if you're trapping something not for a purpose, you're trapping it, or malacha shein tzricha legufa, you're just trying to ward it off, so then it's not going to be the biblical violation. And that is going to give us some room for leniency, very specifically to foreshadow the final analysis. If you were in a sukkah and something was bothering you, number one, if the item is not normally trapped, number two, I'm trapping it in a way of warding it off, not because I even want this thing. And number three, with significant pain, significant concern. Someone's allergic, it's causing a total ruckus because this specific thing is feared to have a stinger. There are specific cases where we could put enough together to make a leniency that if it would land on the table, you could quickly put a cup over it or something like that. As opposed to killing it, which is much severe, because dead is dead. What difference is, you've done netilas neshama, you've killed the item. Let's go to Amud Beis, Kuf Zayin Amud Beis 107b, pagination 214. In the wide lines, drop down about 8 lines. The beginning of the line says, Chabura Eina Choseres. And then the two dots, which is where we start. That looks right. Yeah? Usha'ar Shkatzim and other creatures. Hahargan Chayiv. But if you killed other creatures that are not normally killed, that's a biblical violation. Mantana, who's the opinion that rules like that? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Rabbi Lazar hi. Titanya, we learned. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Rabbi Lazar says, Hahore Kina, a person who kills a louse, as in lice, on Shabbos, Kahore Gomo B'Shabbos, it's the same thing as killing a camel on Shabbos. What's his point? He took something real small, he took something real big. You understand if you kill a camel on Shabbos, you've killed. He wants to tell you that if you kill this little itsy bitsy thing, it's the same thing, because the principle is killing a living creature on Shabbos. Maskeflo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef objected. Ad kan lo pligi rabbanan alei d'Rabbi Eliezer lebekina deina parah v'rava. The reason that they argue on this ruling of Rabbi Lazar is because he's talking about a louse. Of all things that he could have chosen, he chose something that's a discussion in and of itself. Everybody agrees that anything that reproduces normally, male and female, is going to be a violation. You don't have to tell me, oh, it's Rabbi Lazar who holds that even something small is also called killing. Everybody holds even something small is called killing. There was nothing unique about Rabbi Lazar Shita except that he threw a louse into the mix. What's the issue with a louse? The Gemara has a tradition that a louse does not reproduce from male and female. And therefore, it is not included in the ruling that you're not allowed to kill it on Shabbos. And therefore, even though by the time you're ready to kill it, it looks like a creature, looks no different than a fly in terms of appreciating that it's a living creature. Nevertheless, you're allowed to kill it according to the Gemara. The Gemara says it doesn't reproduce from male and female. Now, there's a massive discussion on this topic because we find that what we call a louse, lice, under a microscope, definitely are reproducing from male and female. So what do you mean? Right, so the basic teaching that even something small is also called killing on Shabbos, we accept, no problem. But you're telling me, by the way, that there's a disagreement regarding a louse, and we would paskin that a louse, like the majority opinion, is not called killing. You'd be allowed to use that hair, whatever, something to kill on Shabbos, lice in a kid's head, for example, because lice don't reproduce from male and female. Now, one second, is that true? So there are two major approaches. One approach is that what we're calling lice is not the lice of the Gemara. It's very simple. There are plenty of things that we get stuck not knowing how to translate, and we translate the best that we can. An example of this is nesher, an eagle, which according to many, many commentaries is not an eagle. It doesn't fit the parameters listed in the Gemara for what a nesher is supposed to be. But we translate it as an eagle because that's the best we can do. The chilazon that was used to dye the tzitzis blue, we don't know what it is. We do the best we can. Some people actually go ahead and use the best estimate that they could come up with, assuming that that's really the chilazon. Not so hard to appreciate that among itsy-bitsy creatures, there's a creature called the true kina, or a certain type of kina, and we don't know what it is, and it's not paravarava from male and female. It runs a different approach. Maybe, I don't know. There's a different approach, which is that since it reproduces male and female smaller than the naked eye can see, Therefore, it is not included in reproduction according to halacha. In other words, the Torah wasn't given to angels. The Torah wasn't given to modern man with all kinds of telescopes and microscopes. Torah was given to a person. And just like you're allowed to eat a bug that doesn't even exist because it's too small, it's called bacteria, no problem. So this also is not included. In any case,
I'm not quite sure why Gomorrah picks on male-to-female reproduction, what it has to do with...
Oh, so we'll squeeze in. I see we're out of time. Let me just read the next things to answer your question. Ushneim lolim dualim e'elim. And they learnt it from the animal that was killed for the hide for the Mishkan. Rabbi Elazar sava eilim ma'ilim sheish bam netilas neshama. Anything that is alive and gets killed, avkol sheish bam netilas neshama. Anything that gets killed, an akina is alive now and it's getting killed. For Rabbanan savri ke'elim, it has to be like these rams. Ma'ilim departim v'ravim. I don't care how small you go, but it still has to have male and female reproduction. It has to be that its life came from a male and a female, not something that appears like bacteria. That's not male-female. Afkol depara varava. And that's where kinim became compromised in their status. And the discussion here is whether they qualify or not. And again, even if they do qualify, but are the kinim that we find in our time things that qualify? We don't have time to do the end. I'll just do it outside. The concept that when you're dealing with a creature in terms of trapping it, that's not so black and white. Killing is black and white. You killed a living creature. It's one of the 39 categories. Trapping was done for a constructive purpose. And if your purpose does not meet that criteria, number one, you're only trying to ward it off. Number two, it's not an item that's normally trapped. Then there's room for leniency, and that's the whole sukkah discussion of what you're allowed to do if you have an objectionable creature in the sukkah. Yeshua Koach, have a wonderful day.